us, and He does not change. It reminds us of the little girl who misquoted Psalm 23:1. Rather than saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," she said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." And that should be the cry of our hearts. That should be the cry of our hearts, that if I have nothing else in this world, even if I have to go through the oppression of the world, and even if I have to witness that and see all of the tragedy that's going on, and even if I'm observing all of this envy and this ruthless competition, and I'm observing all of the laziness and all these things I'm tempted to do myself. When I see all of those things, I have to cultivate a heart of contentment. Now that's not saying that we're passive and we don't get engaged in our culture. We engage them, but we engage them with that which is relevant, and that's the gospel, and that's Christ. The problem isn't with work, and the problem is not with rest. The problem is this: we have misplaced affections. The problem is with your and my misplaced affections. We have desires and longings and things that we think will make us content, and we place all of that desire in something else. We limit ourselves, practically speaking, to an under-the-sun perspective. We exclude God from our affections, and then in that moment we're reduced to meaninglessness, to despair, and hopelessness. And that's what Solomon wants us to see so desperately. That if you pursue that, hopelessness. The answer is that our affections would be placed in the correct location. Oppression, ruthless competition, envy, self-cannibalism, hopeless death, all of that is fixed in the gospel. It is all fixed in Jesus Christ. And until you want Jesus more than you want to manipulate the system, you will only discover the despair of verse 4. This also is vanity and is striving after the wind. You have to want Christ more than you want to manipulate this worldly system to your own advantage. You need, and I need, our desires and our affections changed. And then, and only then, can we experience the contentment and peace that is available to us in Christ. And so I want to draw us to 3 points of application. 3 points of application today. Number one is this: maintain a Christ-centered perspective and thus maintain meaning. Maintain a Christ-centered perspective and thus maintain meaning. We cannot have meaning apart from Christ. Don't forsake that. Don't forsake that in your own personal desires that you pursue. Don't pursue that in your conversations with your coworkers. Or don't forsake that in those conversations. Don't forsake that in any category of life. You will be met with despair every time. So number one, maintain a Christ-centered perspective and thus maintain meaning. Number two, forsake oppression, envy, and laziness. We need to forsake those things. We need to forsake oppression. We need to forsake envy. We need to forsake laziness. All of us want to do that to others. Number three, embrace contentment in Jesus alone. He is driving us in this passage to be content, and that only happens through Christ. So I'd like to conclude with one question, and that is this. In order to be content, I need Jesus Christ plus what? We're going to keep coming back to this question over and over and over again. And if you are tired of hearing me ask that question, I'm not going to apologize to you. In order to be content, I need Jesus plus what? And the answer should be nothing. Let Solomon, through this passage, drive us to recognize that reality. Thank you, God, for the fact that you are good, that you are holy, that you are just, that you are righteous, and that we can be totally content in you. I pray that we would be, that we'd be satisfied in Jesus and Jesus alone, that you drive us to look at life above the sun. Pray that we cling to the gospel, cling to Christ. We ask in Jesus' name.